Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 3rd of March, as we march through the year. February was kind of a short month.
I hate when that happens, that February. Who made that up?
I don't know, but we do have a time change coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, next week. Right before another time announcement on Monday. The big spring forward announcement by Apple. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
Spring forward or flop back.
Yeah. Well, we have some trumpets we need to play, or maybe a harmonica or something, or maybe a bag. Maybe crackle or something, but the NASDAQ hit the comp now, not the 100. The comp hit 5,000, first time since March of 2000. And that happened in March also.
Yeah, we are back in the year 2000.
Yeah, it was in March also.
Yeah.
I remember this. Yeah, I don't know
if it all came crumbling down. Now, I doubt it's going to come crumbling down because it has to go higher than it did before.
Right.
Just by nature. And things have changed, but it looks like that we're near the end of the road here.
Well, the good news is that a lot of these companies have earnings now. It's not all these companies that had prospect and all these ideas and these crazy numbers. I mean, you remember back then, stocks were going up by ridiculous numbers every day.
Oh, yeah, we had pets.com.
Yeah, and stuff was going up, what, $20, $30? Everybody was all excited. I remember very distinctly, I was at a conference in March, maybe it was late February, and Jim Cramer was speaking. And he was just all over the whole thing. You know, it's going to go forever. Buy this stock, that. I mean, the list of stocks that he mentioned.
This is in 2000?
Yeah, 2000. And the list of stocks he mentioned, let's just say there was 10 stocks he mentioned. I think 5 of them at least are out of business. Okay?
Well.
And then I remember also in March of that year, on my birthday, it was a Monday, I believe. It was March 20th in 2000. We owned a stock that we liked a lot. The earnings were great. Everything was beautiful about it. Called MicroStrategy, still around. And MicroStrategy, I wake up in the morning and I look at a few things and I said, that's interesting. Looks like MicroStrategy split, 2-for-1. So I call my office and I said, I didn't know that MicroStrategy was splitting. It's not a split. What do you mean? Well, it seems that they were doing a little bit of aggressive accounting. They had two parts of their business. One part was the software and the second part was the services on the software. And they would book 5 years' worth of services into the first year. So their earnings looked incredible. And when they were found out, it was bad. It was ugly. Very ugly. And what's interesting about that stock, though, is there was a class action lawsuit against them. And they paid an enormous amount of money. That was a great payment. Not pennies. I'm talking about massive dollars. So let's say that if you lost, just picking a number, $100,000, maybe you got back $35,000. That's pretty good.
Better than nothing.
Yeah. And the stock is still around and does pretty well.
People are gun-shy about it.
Yeah, well, it's done pretty well over the years. Big news this week, or actually last week, was this whole lumber liquidators thing. I don't know if you're following this.
No, I did not follow this at all.
So last Wednesday or Thursday, there was a news item that came out, an announcement by the CEO of Lumber Liquidators, who does hardwood flooring as well as laminate flooring. All over the country they sell this, big chain. And they said that we were just informed there's going to be a 60-minute piece out this weekend. And for what we can see so far, it's not going to show us in a favorable light. One of the big issues was there was this concern about high levels of formaldehyde that are in the laminate flooring that they're selling, particularly in California. Now, California has these laws against, and there's a national law, federal law about formaldehyde. Well, it seems that the tested items that they took from the shelves in California tested 6 to 7 times the legal limit of formaldehyde content. Some were 20 and 25 times. So they went to China, and they went to the manufacturing area that does the work for Lumber Liquidators. 60 Minutes did, and they pulled off some things. They tested it. They also found that while there's a, I think it's CARB 2, I think it's called, which is a California emissions/chemical composition law that allows how much particular parts per million of formaldehyde and all that can be inside of a particular good. Mm-hmm. Well, they're stamping CARB 2 on the box, knowing that it is not CARB 2 compliant. That Lumber Liquidators, this is what they said in the interview, goes out and buys the wood that has the formaldehyde because it saves them a lot of money. Or at least that there is some kind of formaldehyde, because it comes in the glue and the binding. And the 60 Minutes piece made the CEO look like a real idiot. I don't know about this. Nothing, I can't imagine.
Yep. Never heard of such a thing.
Right. So this is the second time. The last time something like this happened, there was an issue with, I think they were buying some wood from somewhere in Russia or something weird. Anyway, the stock was down about 50% over the last several days. Got an upgrade today. Saying, the analyst said, the tests were not the kind of tests, not the same tests that would be done with California. So we're not sure if there's any legitimacy to it. And the stock was up at one point about 13% today. So kind of crazy. Now, the big issue, though, on this is back to the whole idea of Chinese manufacturing, I think. Remember when we had all these toys for kids and paints and finger paints and all that were, you know, had all sorts of carcinogens in it. And what was
it? A lot of lead.
So the big question is, can Chinese manufacturing, and not only Chinese, but other areas around the world, be trusted? And this is a reason probably why Alibaba hit an all-time low since its IPO today.
Well, we have a situation here in the San Francisco Bay Area where they built a bridge out of Chinese product.
Yep.
And it's already corroding. And the bridge was overpriced to begin with. Chinese underbid everybody, so they got the gig. And then now the thing's corroding because it's off spec. I don't know what they're going to do about it.
Well, this can be very interesting, I think, because I think there's going to be, once again, a look into this. Now, realize that we're having a little bit of a trade war with China now. China also, I think the government outlawed any products to be purchased by government officials, any of the government bodies, if you will, from, I think it's Apple, IBM, maybe even Google, a few others. They're not allowing any purchases because they're concerned, and Microsoft, they're concerned about the potential for the, you know, the spying.
Yeah, back doors.
Yep. So
if I were them, I'd think the same thing. We did it to Huawei. I think they were spying on us, and we didn't buy a lot of Huawei gear. So the company has been hurt, at least in this market, from that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very concerned about this China situation, by the way. And I think we should start looking at opportunities, as terrible as this is, to find companies that do a lot of manufacturing in China and maybe cut corners. You know, what about these mattress companies? Where are they? Some of these made?
That's a good point.
You know, and all sorts of other gadgetry and other things that we put in our house that may be, you know, some kind of fillers that don't meet particular standards. This Lumber Liquidators, by the way, could go bankrupt. If it is proven they have that high of level and that much installed base in the United States and they require to pick them up and possibly even if there is long, it's like the asbestos deal. You know, I mean, put companies out of business, right? It wasn't the... Was it Corning? Who was put out of business?
Johns Manville.
Yeah, out of business. And then also, what company had the implants, the breast implants?
Well, yeah, I don't remember them. I remember that scene, but I don't remember who it was.
Right, and these companies, you know, if they're liable for maybe either replacement or, first of all, would you go buy anything from Lumber Liquidators now?
No.
Right. The average person is not going to go there.
Now, if this is whether they're sleazeballs.
Right,
it's not going to happen.
So now what's going to happen is their sales are going to plummet. Even if they don't have any back-end liability, their sales are going to plummet, at least for the time being. So there's other...
Well, they're going to have liability. This is a disaster.
Yep. So there's other companies that may do well, by the way. You have some Home Depot, for example. They did some checking there. Their flooring was okay. Lowe's was okay. There's a company called Mohawk, MHK, which also makes
Lumber Liquidators is still at $40, and it went up.
Yeah, it went up today about it was up today about 15% at one point on this upgrade. A bit of a short squeeze, but looks like still opportunity. I'm looking right now at my screen, and it's, I have a dark green notice that I can't get any short sales. You could buy a put on it maybe, but this should be a very ugly situation.
What's the puts look like?
They're probably very expensive.
I'm sure they're overpriced.
Yeah, they got to be for the volatility.
But let's take a look.
Let me see if I can look here.
See what's it sitting at now? It's at 40. you'd have to say this would be resolved 6 months from now. So you'd want puts from, let's, what do you think?
Let's go on to June.
Oh,
there's no June. Let's go to
August. Go to December, November, whenever that.
I got August.
August.
So the August put.
It's kind of, maybe.
The August.
Okay, put, the August puts.
It says 41. So right now, if you bought one in the money, a 41 put right now is $9.
A 41 put is $9?
Yeah, that's expensive.
That's not that bad. You think that's bad?
Well, you got to get down to, you got to clear $9.
Oh, it's going to drop to 10.
Well, if it drops to 10, you're in great shape.
So yeah. The 30s are like 4. These are, the 30s are high. The 45s are 11.
The biggest open interest is the 30s.
That's that would be where you make your big, that's the leverage right there.
Yeah. The 50s are, the 470 in the money. So, I mean, I would go out, if you get the 30s, $394. There's no volume here.
Let's go out further. Let's go out to, here you go. Next year, January.
January 15, 2016.
Now let's look at the 30s here.
480.
Yeah, the 25s are $3.
That's a long way. But this company could go to zero. It really could. No kidding.
Yeah, well, that would be a nice put then.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a beauty.
For $3. It'd be $300 for 100 shares.
Yeah.
Big of a deal.
Exactly. And you could go, what would that go to? So if it went to zero, you would have, you'd get $40 on it.
$40 times per share?
It's 4,000.
So it'd be 4,000 for $300. This is a 10-to-1. It's reasonable.
Yeah. Not bad. So some opportunity there for everybody.
To look at.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, listen, did you see the earnings from Hewlett Packard last week?
No, I missed it.
Yeah, they missed it too.
I heard they missed it, but I don't know what the numbers are.
Yeah, the whole headwinds thing, the currency headwinds issue and all that. They bought Aruba Networks.
Yeah, I saw that.
Interesting.
Why?
I'm not sure. They're trying to, I don't know. This is a networking company.
Well, the word is, of course, they want to split into two companies again.
They do. They do want to split into two companies. One really crappy,
but
one just crappy.
They've done that already once. Remember when they spun off that other company?
Compaq?
They spun off the company that had all their testing gear, oscilloscopes and all that stuff.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I think that the only thing they could do right now is split it up and then try to buy other companies. And we're looking at like these 3D printing companies that maybe in play. I don't know.
Huh.
We'll see. Like a triple D, SYSS.
HD 3D printer, I guess.
Yeah, these companies got smoked.
3D. They definitely, they still have a brand name that's valuable.
Yeah. They should just split off the ink company. Really lock down the whole ink market. They can only use their ink in your printers and other stuff won't work at all.
Yeah, their roll of plastic is what it amounts to in the 3D printer.
It's
like a wire.
Personal income and spending dropped more than anticipated in January. As a matter of fact, so did consumer confidence. The numbers that – I know you don't really like the economic surprise index, but I got to tell you something. It's pretty darn ugly looking. That's the indicator or the reference of how we're seeing economic reports compared to what economic estimates are. So what's really interesting, you often see, it paces up either high or low, and analysts will come in after the fact because they're great at this of adjusting their numbers, and they'll bring them down. So what's going to happen is 6 months from now, they're going to, beat. But it is pretty amazing how we're at like a negative 40 right now, which is a pretty darn negative level. So what that means is I have found that about 2 to 3 months after that, if things don't really perk up, you start seeing some, within 2 to 3 months, you start seeing some real turn of the market. And you can plot the market on that. And it's about, again, anywhere from 2 to 3 months. Because it takes time for people to kind of get, aware of it. Then it takes time for people to believe it. Everybody, it's only one off. When the reality hits is when things start getting ugly. And now on top of that, we talked about last week how earnings are really coming in. The estimates, I think we're at... analysts are saying about a negative 6% earnings growth next quarter. And meanwhile, we're at all-time highs, just off the all-time highs.
Yeah, the market likes being where it is. It wants to go up more.
Yeah. You just keep on getting more stimulus. In China, they stimulated over the weekend again.
Good for them.
Yeah, they reduced the yuan reference rate and the required reserves for banks, and they just added some other kind of liquidity into the system. Things aren't good over there. They're still in a contraction mode. And, of course, we have that the potential for another bet. Listen to this. This had me chuckling. The word is that Spain is in favor of another, or announcing, and they think it's a good idea, another $30 to $40 billion bailout for Greece.
Are they the one providing the money?
Well, it's the EU. Or maybe it's the EU and the IMF.
Well, yeah, well, you can see the logic behind this.
Let me see, hear what you have to say, because I'll tell you what I was thinking.
Yeah, Spain says, oh, no, give them more money, give them more money. And then when their turn comes around,
exactly.
Well, hell, you gave Greece more money, you might as well give us more.
Exactly.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, I think so. Exactly. So the European Union and Greek officials are currently negotiating a third bailout for Greece, which would amount to about 30 billion euros, about $34 billion. And maybe even 50 billion on similar conditions to the previous two rescue packages, which I don't understand how that's going to go if Greece right now is kicking and screaming that they don't want to deal with the old bailout package. How do you, this is like a guy in the street saying, hey, buddy, can you lend me money? Sure, I'm going to lend you money. You know, two or three times you lend him money, doesn't really pay you back. And he's always telling you, listen, do me a favor. I owe you $100. Let me give you 50. We'll call it even. And then, you say, no, that's not going to happen. So some time goes, he doesn't pay you, or he pays you a little bit. And then all of a sudden, because you know what? I need another 100. You're like, okay, I'm kind of schmuck.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. So
they don't know what to do.
Yeah, they don't. They have no balls. Let's see here. February, one of the biggest. Actually, one of our listeners also sent this to me. February was one of the biggest months ever for buybacks and announced buybacks.
Where do you get that stat?
You could look. Well, Bloomberg has it. There's a few different places that have the total announced dollar amount for buybacks.
I think this is going to be the beginning of the end, these buybacks.
Well, it's.
I know you're not a fan of them because they make the market look rigged, but.
I mean, it's good for the companies.
I see it as buying high, waiting to sell low. It makes no sense to me.
Well,
in 2008, 2009, it made some sense to do buybacks because everything was in the tank.
Yeah, but they didn't do it then. Buybacks were at all time low. They were all low. They did it in 2007.
Right, when it was high again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's strange.
Well, it's when they have all this excess money, when things are going good, and they have the opportunity to do so. And on top of it, I think it's also when they have no ability to really increase their growth rate. So they're doing other types of financial engineering and other kinds of scams in order to bring up the earnings. That make sense?
Well, that's what your thesis has been for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing's a scam to bring up earnings.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be reported as such.
Right. And there is a buyback index. I have yet to be able to figure it out, what that means. I think that we need to adjust the stock's price by the buyback, which in other words, adjust the earnings by the buyback, not just increase the earnings.
I don't think it's possible because if it's all going to be determined as earnings per share, and it's a simple calculation, what can you do?
Well, you could say, the earnings per share with
you could say
it was 30 cents, the 3 cents
less shares now, so the earnings went up. You can make an asterisk. And then you can explain to people that the only reason this thing went up is because of the – nobody reads this stuff.
Right.
They just see, what's the earnings per share? Oh, looks like a deal. Or it's going up. This is great. The earnings per share is higher than it was. And, that seems to be where it ends.
But the only thing that's interesting about that is that, as a company, if you have a large buyback program, you can pretty much – figure out how much you need to buy back in order to increase your earnings, in order to beat the analysts every single quarter. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty pathetic. Let's see. I talked about...
Here's the other thing. It's like you've been bitching about this for years. The government comes out with a bunch of statistics, and everyone's happy, and they're buying and buying and doing whatever they do, and then they adjust the next month.
Right.
They adjust down usually.
Yep. They get sandbag.
And nobody cares.
Yeah, they sandbag. They sandbag and they also do that.
Yeah, the sandbag. It's exactly what it is.
The end of the week, we're going to see job numbers already. I feel like we just did this last week.
I think so, too.
It seems like it was last week. So I think everybody knows there's been strong job growth in the U.S. We see that bonds, let's see what happened today. Yep, TBT, you picked that, is actually moving up again. Bonds are coming down and yields are coming up. The dollar has been fluctuating both ways. The idea is that, well, we're going to see better employment. And by the way, I thought this was interesting. A couple of days ago, what is it, Tuesday? So it was Monday. We saw some, I thought, pretty, you know, I guess it was the last few days, some not so good economic numbers. And I was, you know, the market still didn't care. And they still kind of, the dollar went up against it somewhat. I'm like, well, what's going on? Nobody really cares about looking at the actual numbers and what's happening now, even though the Fed says that they're going to be data dependent. They're all thinking that, you know, this is kind of a, you know, they're going to be a rate increase and they're bidding it up like, you know, to multi-year highs, the dollar. Now, with that in mind, companies we know have this headwind of the dollar. You know, we see massive amounts of currency losses that they're booking.
Yeah.
And yeah. Again,
get ready for some more.
Yeah, and again, everybody's bidding up stocks like, okay, no big deal. It's just a currency situation.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
But companies love to use excuses, don't they?
It's all rationale.
Yeah, it's the weather.
And you can make rationale for any. I've said this before. You can make a rationale for up or down with the same using the same argument. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the fact that the euro is $1.11 now. Well, $1.12, let's say.
Yep. It's moving in that direction. And they haven't even started their quantitative easing program. It hasn't even begun.
That'll drive it. Noticing what happened to us when we started quantitative easing when it came to the currency market, the dollar was way too low the whole time. It kept getting pushed down by the euro in particular. And now that the shoe's on the other foot, it should go in the opposite direction. So we should get below a dollar.
Yeah, it should be, especially if we raise rates. But that will be a big issue because that's going to be extremely deflationary for us here.
I think we're just going to – I don't think they're going to do that, but at least from what I can tell. I think they're just going to stay the course until the next president comes in.
Huh.
Well, a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, in these business cycles, is when the new president comes in that they change things. I mean, Yellen is going to go when they bring – if Elizabeth Warren or Hillary Clinton get in, those only two candidates I can see winning. They're going to get rid of Yellen. They're not going to like this woman. She's just annoying. And they don't. And they've already bitched and moaned about this quantitative easing being a scam. So they're going to get rid of her and put somebody that's amenable to their way of thinking. They're going to pull the plug on quantitative easing because the economy's going to collapse.
But they can't pull the plug unless they don't have any authority over the Fed. That's the funny thing.
It's you put your guy in and you can do it. There's a lot of backroom stuff that goes on. Yeah, you're right, technically.
Right. Well, if you have somebody that also
would be in that job if Obama didn't like her.
Right. Yeah, Obama's happy. The markets are going up. Woohoo.
It's going to continue probably right through the end. I mean, the way I see it, and I've talked about this probably to excess without producing my book, is that the economy was in the verge of doing a collapse in 2009 based on the 40-year cycle, which it should have done when Obama got elected. But it happened a year early. Because the idiots that were running the Bush administration couldn't push it off to the next administration, and they took the brunt of the complaints of the problem, and because it was on the same cycle as 1929, 1918, I guess it's 1899, 1970 or 1969. It's just that 40 years.
So
it was on the same cycle that happened in 2009. It happened a little earlier because the idiots in the Bush administration don't do what they normally do, which is rig the economy to at least get them out of the out of office and let the next guy take the brunt of it.
Right.
That's what I think. Obama's smart enough to do that. I don't think there's going to be a depression until after the 2016 elections.
Hmm. Now you don't think that Jeb Bush has any potential?
God, let's hope not.
How would that be? That would be something.
That'd be horrible. You know, the Republicans don't like him really that much. He doesn't even go. There's a litany of conservative checklists like the Democrats have. Bush is checking the wrong boxes. He hasn't got a prayer. I doubt he can win one of these primary elections in one of these states.
Yeah, well, I met him a few times, and
he's got a big head.
He's very tall.
And he's tall. What is? How tall is
he's
he?
Like, yeah, he's like 6'3".
No, that looks taller than that.
Yeah, he was a big fellow. Took a picture. I got a picture of him, though, so I could hang it on the wall if he's president.
Well, there you go.
Yep. Let's see. So do you think, you know, do you think that, what do you think about the jobs numbers? Let me tell you what the official estimates are as of this point, okay? We have a 5.6 unemployment rate, which is the expectation from 5.7. Change in non-farm payrolls going to be 235, down from 257. Do you think that's going to fly? Think that's going to happen?
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
What's to prevent these numbers?
I mean, the only thing that
there's always a surprise possibility, but I don't see it.
It could be, it still could be the retail that's weakening and possibly the layoffs in the oil sector. That's the only two things that could be
surprising. The oil sector is problematic. You're right.
That could be a problem. And then in the last jobs number, it was pretty ugly in that area.
We'll see.
New home sales were good. Vehicle sales actually came out today. And this I thought was interesting. We're seeing a real good rise over the last couple of years, but, the survey was for 16.7 million total vehicle sales and came in 16.16, which was less than the last as well in February. Domestic vehicle sales, just the U.S. only, came in at 12.87 versus a survey of 13.4 and down from 13.3 million, this is annualized, over the last. So we'll see also this week we're going to have the non-manufacturing composite from the ISM, an important number. On the 4th, which is tomorrow, I guess, right? Yep, tomorrow. Also, the ADP employment change number, looking for 219,000 coming on the rolls. Let's see what else there is here. Mm-hmm. That's about it. Coming out this week. It was kind of a light day today. There was nothing going on in the markets besides pretty much the usual. A couple of names were moving pretty well. You had a stock, actually, on your list that really just blew out today in a big way. We'll get to that in a little while. GoPro, the short that just keeps on giving. Seems that this company, Xiaomi, the company that has the lock on the smartphone market in China, you know the company, right?
Right, the company that we don't never get to see their phones.
Right. They're now in the camera business, it seems. They have a high-def entry-level GoPro alternative for $64.
Well, there goes GoPro.
Yep.
GoPro's, I'm sure the little camera's just as good because they're all made in China anyway.
Yep.
That's the problem that we have. It's not as though this is some special camera that's made, you know, outside of Boston. This is a camera manufactured as an OEM type product from one of the companies in China, and they can make this camera for anybody who gives them the specs.
Yep. And one of the things that's really interesting about this is that, GoPro has been going down in value. We know that GoPro closed today at, 40.90. I think it clipped 40 yesterday, went under 40. But there's also been a lot of sales by the directors and insiders. They've been getting rid of their stock.
Well, you know, they're taking some money off the table. I mean, you can't say that they're bailing out unless they sell all their stock.
Nope.
But they probably are bailing out.
They may be.
Normally, you can't say that, right? You can when you do good insider trading. You can always say the buys mean something and the sells don't mean anything.
Right.
That's the rule. But sometimes they do mean something if these guys are getting out.
Yeah, they're smart. Now, a stock that's involved in this area is called Ambarella. I think I've talked about this before. I really like this stock.
I don't remember.
AMBA. Now they make the chip and they make some of the processing environment for this high definition video. That does the compression algorithms. And one of their biggest customers, I think they get 30% of their business or have about 30% of the business from GoPro. But now that you have all these other camera manufacturers on the market and also Xiaomi is using Amba's technology, the big question always was, well, what happens if something goes bad with GoPro and sales go down and all that? What's going to happen with Amba, right? Well, Amba came out with earnings tonight, blew the earnings away. Great. I think they were up another 5.5% or 6% after the close
on
the number. And at an all-time high.
Yeah, it's kicking ass, this company.
Yeah, I love it. We've owned it for
a while. Missed that one. Well, I mean, you got some, but...
We've owned it for a while. It's a good company.
I would say, I think the logic that if GoPro goes broke, it wouldn't really affect Ambarella because somebody else is going to pick up the slack. And so the total chip sales are, it will continue on the same pace, seems to me.
Yep.
And it's not as though, you know, the prices of the chips aren't cheaper on the cheap Chinese camera than they are on the GoPro. I'm sure they're the same price per whatever unit volume they use.
Right. Exactly.
What else did they do with this Ambarella operation?
Pretty much the chips. I mean, do they have to, they don't have that. I mean, the sales are like 90 million a quarter.
Hell, then they got plenty of room to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Interesting company. I'll look into it. Now, I don't like price earnings at 50, but okay.
Yeah, but it's a tech company and they're, you know.
Yeah, kind of, I know. It could skyrocket.
Yeah. Buffett was on CNBC on Monday for 3 hours.
Who?
Warren Buffett.
Oh, Buffett. Yeah, he's got stories to tell.
He put out his letter. He put out his numbers. I think his big thing that he looks at, the most important thing is the book value per share of Berkshire Hathaway.
Let's take a look at IBM while we're at it.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you what happened here. So for years, they've been, you know, everything's been judged by the book value, book value, book value. Well, somehow the book value went down comparatively compared to the growth went down and all that since the last time, right? The last annual, whatever it was. And now there's a new column in there. It's the stock price. They're using that. Oh, that's important too now.
Since when?
This particular letter. This quarter. Mm-hmm. And he does like IBM. Why? Because of all the buybacks.
Oh, he's just okay.
He's buying more. He's buying more.
Definitely, if he was going by book value, don't look. What do you think the book value of IBM is?
Of IBM?
Yeah.
Per share? Let's see.
Yeah.
It's trading at 150, so... got cash. 60?
11.
Really?
Yeah, $11.98.
Well, that's ugly.
That's terrible.
That's low.
Yeah, it's low. That means the stock is way overpriced.
But they're buying back shares.
Yeah, they are. And maybe he's just playing a game with it, playing along.
Why not?
I guess you have to play along until they stop buying back shares. They, I don't know.
Or there's a big lawsuit against... I mean, you would think that Buffett would come clean on this whole IBM thing and say, you know what? It did disturb me when they sold the company last year and had to pay for the sale, $1.5 billion. Remember that?
They sold what company?
They sold a part of their they broke off a part of IBM, one of the subsidiaries.
And it wasn't Lenovo. That was before
that.
No,
They sold it off for $1.5 billion, but they paid for the sale.
Huh.
IBM, we talked about
this. So there's like a... the value, oh, that's bad.
Global Foundries. They paid Global Foundries.
They it's like walking. They might as well just cut the company loose.
They paid Global Foundries $1.5 billion to take the chip unit. They paid. Let me just make sure I'm clear about this.
That can't be good. That's not good.
They paid someone to take the company.
Yes.
$1.5 billion. That has got to be something that is bleeding.
And you think you could have sold the company for free or something.
Yeah, just take the company off my hands and just deal with it. No, but we'll give you $1.5 billion to take a company from us. There's a lawsuit now. There's a class action against them on this, saying that they should have known that they should have written down the value of this way before and the numbers were not right. And while your stock was down big that day, we lost a lot of money and it wasn't a proper...
They should be sued.
Yeah, they should be. I agree. Maybe not for the sale, but not for not properly booking it prior as they knew this thing was bleeding. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, there was no...
Yeah, no, if it was bleeding, that should have been apparent in the numbers somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So I saw today a news item that Barclays, this is like a daily thing, or every few days you see something. Barclays is setting aside an extra $1.2 billion to cover the cost of settling the probe into alleged, well, that's not really an alleged, if they're going to put aside this money, currency rigging, and posted a 32% drop in full-year profit last week. So they're going to put aside $1.2 billion, the cost of settling the alleged, which means they were guilty, in my opinion. How do, you know, from rigging... Rigging currencies. This is, you know, with the various things that have gone on, and currency markets are pretty much unregulated. One of the largest amounts of trading of any particular asset is currencies, and it's unregulated. How does anybody have trust in the markets with these banks continuing to rip us off?
It mystifies me.
Right? I mean, how do you get the
confidence? You just have to do business with them. I don't think you can trust them.
But it's not doing
business. You have no choice.
Well, it's not so much doing business with Barclays, but how do you then go out and say, okay, I'm going to trade currencies? If you know that there's this kind of stuff going on. Yeah. Or that...
Well, I would say from our perspective, only a maniac would trade currencies.
Yeah, that's not fun. I mean, I guess it is fun, but the only thing crazier is trading natural gas. If you ever watch that daily move, woof, that can get you.
Horrible.
Yeah. Federal agents executed search warrants at several, again, California, Southern California sites that are connected to three multi-million dollar birth tourism businesses that enabled thousands of Chinese women to travel here and return home with infants born as U.S. citizens.
Nice one.
How do you like that? Why didn't we think of that? what's the problem with this? I mean, so you allow them to come here and live with you, pay to live here, and they just have their babies here. What's the problem? I don't understand why there's going to be any kind of, you know, can you get arrested for that, for having a hotel?
I have no idea. I think the whole thing is part. I guess it's one of the amendments of the Constitution or something that allows this. I think it had to do with it. Something that took place after the Civil War, and no one's ever fixed it. And I don't think anyone just passing through the United States casually and they have a baby, then it's all automatically an American.
Yeah.
Well, they're not.
I think so. You're traveling, and you're going from China to Canada, and your plane stops in L.A. Right? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get off the plane, you're in the airport, you pop one out. I think the kid's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, I know. This was a problem with a lot of Mexicans who do have babies over here. That's what they're bitching about mostly. It's about the Mexicans, not the Chinese. Although the Chinese can be, you know, why not? They can do it too.
But somebody had the foresight to at least, you know, get some money from the deal. But I guess they had all sorts of signs up there. Come to America, have a baby, go home. Kid is a U.S. citizen.
Now, that's the American way.
Yeah.
Profit from every loophole.
Every loophole. Speaking about profits and, things to find all these loopholes and things that are going bad in life, I can't stop bringing this up, but I don't know if it's me or are websites just getting, reversing in quality in terms of their design? Because we looked at Bloomberg, I think it was, last week, which has these gigantic banners all over it. There's, hardly any news. Now I looked at Reuters today, and I thought there was a change in the way that they presented the information, and I found it very hard. I'm pulling it up right now. It's Reuters.com. And I was like, oh, this is so horrible.
Yeah, this is the new design.
Looks terrible. There's hardly anything even here on the front page. You know, they used to have it's terrible. It's five major items that you can look at, you know, on the top. And then there's a few other things, and they got, of course, their videos because they want you to click the video.
I think you got the new version they've been experimenting with. Mine looks pretty old-fashioned.
Terrible. I don't like it. All right, now something that you need to clarify for us. It seems that there's some fake spirits that are floating around. You're a wine drinker and champagne and all that. There's a discerning drinkers called to complain that Vouvray Clicquot did not taste quite right.
Let me see. Where is this story?
Midway.
Fake spirits. Oh, Vouvray Clicquot.
An investigation found that the French champagne was actually a $12 Argentinian Prosecco. Prosecco designed with the famous yellow label, and they were selling it for $100 a pop.
Well, Vouvray Clicquot is a $35 champagne or $40 maybe, unless it's a vintage. And
I guess they just put this special label on.
And the vintage ones don't have the yellow label. They have a kind of a two-tone label with yellow in the middle. Yeah. No, I don't see why this isn't going on more often.
Have you seen all the different flavors?
Prosecco is good, by the way. A good Prosecco is very tasty. But it's not champagne. Champagne has a distinctive and delicious flavor.
In the old days, when you went to a liquor store, you had a couple different rums, a few different vodkas, right? Have you been in there lately looking at the shelves with like the flavored rums, the flavored vodkas, the flavored...
Flavored vodkas mainly.
It's unbelievable. It's a beautiful presentation with all the different colors and all the bottles.
Oh, yeah. They've got every sort of flavor. They got bubble gum. They got, hot chili, apple, orange. It's why buy these things?
Crown,
If you want flavored vodka, buy some good vodka and then flavor it yourself.
Yeah. Crown Royal just came out with an apple flavor.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of that sort of thing, too. There's a flavored cognac and flavored scotches. It's horrible. Yep. These are for people that shouldn't be drinking at all.
Yeah, some of it's okay, but no. I mean, the vodka's all right, because vodka really doesn't have a flavor. I mean, you can make a drink with it. You make, apple teeny. Is kind of a flavor.
Drop a habanero, one habanero pepper in a big bottle of vodka. For a month.
When I was in Mexico, I had a cucumber jalapeno margarita.
Wow.
That was intense.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it was not frozen, but it was, so you got the cold and you got the jalapeno.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a horrible experience.
Yep, exactly. Kickstarter, the website?
Yes.
So, they do some interesting things. They've had, I looked at this cooler, which was, until I think today, or very recently, it's called the Coolest Cooler, was the number one Kickstarter program. Raised like $13 million or something like that.
Wow.
Very cool cooler. It's, like an igloo cooler.
Yeah.
Well, this you close the top, and on top it has an 18-volt battery you put in there, and it has a thing where you put a blender on top, and it blends drinks. It has Bluetooth radio. It has LED lights inside for nighttime. It has really nice straps and all that. It has a bottle opener. It's got it's got a bunch of really cool things for a cooler. And it made $13 million.
$13 million.
Yep. It still hasn't been sent out though. It's been like almost a year. I think. Oh, maybe. Yeah, 2014. So, maybe it's 8 months. It still hasn't been shipped.
And their name is Coolest.
The Coolest Cooler. It's a very cool video if you watch it.
Wow, this guy's definitely hit the home run here.
Yeah. Now, until just recently, that was the number one. The number two was the Pebble Watch. The Pebble Watch, and that was sold in a lot of stores, right?
Yeah. Okay. An ugly-looking, stupid watch. I don't know why people keep throwing money at these things.
Well, now the Pebble 2 is coming out, or at least it's being manufactured, it's being developed, and it's back on Kickstarter. Now, that's the number one now. Now, I have a question. Why would they go back to Kickstarter if it's already a manufactured product that's in stores? Any thoughts?
Because they can.
No, but why is it? They're gonna.
Don't they? Because they probably aren't gonna make any money on the watch, and they're better off going to Kickstarter and hoping for the next watch. It's because there's no. These are bad ideas that people are financing.
Uh huh. But they get. They don't only really finance it. They get. Well, they get.
You get one.
They get one. Yeah. That's what
sometimes.
I thought it was interesting that a company.
I mean, a lot of people there's thousands of people that's pledged $5, for example, on this Coolest Cooler. They're not getting anything. It's the point. They just threw $5 at these guys.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. You're not getting anything. It's not like you're getting a podcast for $5, which you try to do with some of our podcasts. Or
That's
anything
weird.
Else. You're getting nothing. You just get a picture. You get to look at it. Maybe the one will show up at the local Walgreens and you can buy one there after you play with it. You can say, I was one of the original investors. I give them $5. I don't know. I have no idea. It makes no sense to me.
I don't know why you'd give money to it without actually getting the product. That I agree with you. Unless you get some kind of discount on it in the future, maybe. Get your $5 back.
Yeah, I guess you could promise them something. I don't know. I've never been. I know people who say, well, this is great, this whole idea. And I've always, it's always been lost on me. I think it's a fad.
Well, you got to kick back to the Kickstarter, too. The site.
Oh, do they? What's the kickback?
Of course. What do you think? Kickstarter does it for free?
Well, I guess not.
No, they got to give something. I don't know what it is, but they give something.
Got to probably 10% or something like that. I'm sure it's a good. Yeah, so you'd encourage it. $13 million, you can get 1.3 out of it. That's. I'm in.
I hear you. I mentioned earlier that February was the best month ever for stock buybacks and announced stock buybacks. Well, all of a sudden, I'm starting to see scrolling news that's coming out with a lot more inventory coming on the markets in the form of equity secondary offerings, where that's reverse of a buyback. And when you see more equity, and also, this is odd, but I've seen this in the last few days, companies not able to get their quarterly reports done on time.
Yeah.
That stocks don't do well when they can't do that. You know.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No, for whatever reason. It could be something like, you know, my auditor was ill. They all came down.
The dog could have eaten the computer. I mean, there's a lot of reasons.
But they don't like that. but that's actually an interesting thing, because that if it means something, if it's a meaningful issue on the negative side, obviously that's important. Now, one of the ones that came out today was Acorn. Remember we had that stock?
Uh-huh.
They came out, AKRX, they came out. I think the stock was down about 8%. Let's see, what here? 8% today on that. So that could be a buying opportunity, just to, you know, because once they set a date, everybody's like, oh, okay, it's good. One more thing I want to talk to you about, something that's going to be just a momentary argument or discussion. The Aston Martin Vulcan was announced today. 24 cars will be made. It's a V12 with 800 horsepower, 6-speed sequential gearbox, racing brakes, carbon fiber, mono, whatever it is, 3,000 pounds. That's it. And, oh, $2.3 million. But it's a beauty.
Well, I'm looking at it.
You like it? I think it's
good. No, it has its moments.
They were saying that this can't be on this has to be off-road track driven. It can't be. I don't know why.
Is there any? I'm sure they can get it. It's just a matter of jumping through hoops to make it so it's roadworthy.
Yeah.
If it's not on the road, what good is it?
Yeah. It's only 24. So one will be in, I guess, in Jay Leno's garage.
Yeah, he'd probably buy one.
That's one down. Maybe. That's one down. And some of the sultans will buy some, and somebody in China will buy one, maybe.
Yeah, but oil guys will buy them so they can put in their collection.
Yeah.
I think they probably already have the, 24 pre-sold, so that's the end of that. I don't like some of the features of this thing.
It's very cool looking, I think.
Well, it's got these little, what is this, these little rods that stick out the back?
Yeah, I saw those. I'm not sure what those are for. Maybe
that's kind of creepy.
Maybe that's so. There's the wheelie rods? No, that's not those.
No, right? The little rods for the tail lights, and like these red rods that stick out. It looks creepy.
All right, now the important thing that we need to discuss, and everybody wants to know what our opinion is this stupid dress thing. I had a real problem.
It's my opinion. I'm done.
That's it. It's all over. I put a picture here. I put the original pictures up here, or at least I gave you this one. And the problem I have with this is it has the gold, well, what I see is gold, to the left. It has the original in the middle, and it has the, another picture to the right. But you'll notice something. I want to, it's funny because I pointed out this, if you're looking at this picture to somebody, I said, okay, look at this picture. Do any of these look gold to you? Do you see any gold anywhere in this? No. I said, come on. The picture is meant to show you gold. The two on the left, the one on the far left looks gold, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's been white balance for the jacket being white.
Right.
And so it turned everything to gold.
Right.
I just don't see the one in the middle, people not seeing gold.
I don't understand it either.
It doesn't make any sense, but okay.
Yeah, he was absolute about the fact that the one in the middle was black. Black and blue. I said,
I've run into that with people too. They just see black and blue. I have no idea how that works. Maybe everybody sees everything differently.
Well, what I did was, and I didn't really understand this, but I went to some of these color illusions. You could do this in your spare time. It's these color illusions that show, like, when you have one color next to the other color, how it makes. But that's for everybody sees. Well, not everybody, but they see that. Obviously, I don't know. I thought people were kidding around when they said they didn't see the gold. I thought they'd just pull my leg, but I guess not. Do me a favor. If you're interested in this story and you want to talk to us about it, don't.
Yes, please.
I just find the whole thing. The bottom line is that there was obviously some optical illusion slash some type of after photo editing done, maybe somewhere, blah, 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 and that's all there is to it. And whether you see this color or that color is fine with me.
Yeah, I don't care. That's what my wife said when I first brought it up to her. She said, I don't care.
It got quite the argument.
Whatever color you think it is fine with me. I don't care.
Yep.
Not going to discuss it.
Let's take a look at some of the stocks. Oh, before we get to our stocks, just to mention that not DH Unplugged this year, I might say, folks, but The Disciplined Investor and No Agenda got a nomination for Best Podcast in their various categories. The People's Choice was No Agenda with John and Adam Curry, as well as, what do you get for news? What was the other one?
News and People's Choice.
Right, and just The Disciplined Investor got a nomination for business. Now, we need you to go
I'm
over
there. I'm disappointed that we didn't get one for this podcast.
Yeah, we should have got general news or general interest. Comedy? Comedy would have been good.
Comedy. You can't get comedy unless you're actually a comedian.
Right. So go over to podcastawards.com. Now, you could vote every single day, which I don't like this, by the way, but you could vote. I guess there's no way around it. You can vote every single day once. Go over there and pick on the People's Choice. Go to the top left there and vote for No Agenda. Then go to the General Interest in No Agenda. And then for Business, The Disciplined Investor. And then you'll get an email. I did today, and I didn't get an email. But you're supposed to get an email to confirm and validate, and then you're good. So please do that. That's very important to us because if we win, I think there's a $15 gift certificate.
But unfortunately, it's only usable in Las Vegas. But yeah, it's okay. Something better than nothing.
Let's take a look at our stocks. I got a couple for today. One I was thinking about putting on, but we'll talk about this. So this is a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own the securities mentioned. We'll disclose that. And if you have any desire for whatever reason, as a matter of fact, I saw an email come from somebody the other day that said they have changed their investment style from using only, what did they say, something like only using Investor's Business Daily. Now they use that partially with DH Unplugged picks. And I said, that is probably not a good idea.
Right. Probably both of these sources are questionable. You have to kind of come up with your own strategy.
Yep.
Although that is a strategy.
I suppose. So some of these numbers are not coming up here. I don't know if you noticed that.
They come up on mine.
Okay, so why don't you go through the stocks then?
All right, we have top of it's all green, so we've done very well in the long term. IBM, of course, is dead money, so that it's still green, though. It's up 0.85%. But the other ones, we have, you know, Walgreens Boots is up 35%. Your Monster Beverage is 42% up. So those are all good. Then we go down to Panera Bread, which is dead money on the downside, but it's still dead money. Your ProShares Ultra Short Oil and Gas, short of the short, is up 9%, which I think is pretty good. I've got a red, lost 6% on one of my insiders' things, Synageva Biopharm is no good. But then all of a sudden, Intrexon, which was picked in the 28th of January.
Yep.
1 month, it's up 51% because it just jumped.
But just off the charts. Today it was up like, what, 12%?
Sorry?
How much was it up today, like 12%?
19.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, sure. Massive.
So it's up 51 so far. So that's a winner. Shake Shack, dead money, nothing going on there. Bank of New York, which is another insider's pick, is up 6.7%. Then we have a newer ones, the short of Twitter, which is your pick, is kind of going nowhere one way or the other. ProShares Ultra Short... 20-plus bonds, I guess, is what this is.
Yeah, that's your – you picked that. That's the
I picked that. Yep. Dead money. Nothing. Yep. Hasn't moved at all. Idera Pharmaceuticals, which is another insider's thing, is up 5%. But your Global X Funds, which you liked.
There was a Greek.
Short, that Greek. Is.
Yep. Short
you're
Greek
up markets. Almost 9% in 1 week.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. And the rest of the stuff
– cruising along.
The rest of it is Mondelez International, a candy company, is dead money at the moment.
So this week I was thinking, I had a couple more on this too.
I see. You got a real risky one going here. I was thinking of the same thing.
The second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shorting Apple in ahead of the iWatch announcement. The problem I have is that I'm not going to do this. I would do it maybe after the first sales come in for the iWatch. I wouldn't just do it because I think it could have a bump.
I would tend to agree with you, but the time in terms of doing this is when everybody has the greatest amount of excitement into it.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. So I agree with the theory.
And
I think it's a good idea, but I personally, because I've already been burned by Apple two or three times in this game we play, which is not a solicitation for anything. And I'm waiting. I'm going to wait this out. I'd wait it out enough. I might short them, but not.
Well, just as a disclosure, we're long Apple in our portfolios. Oh, okay.
Well, that's good to know.
And been long for a while. So, but this is ahead of the earnings. The other one that I'm thinking, I had actually one more on here too, but I was thinking about. But I was thinking actually going, let me just tell you what I was thinking about going long, which we did a couple days ago. National Bank of Greece.
Oh, the National Bank of Greece. That's
NBG.
Trading?
NBG, yeah. Now,
BG?
NBG. Now, the theory is they were, after the whole bailout and whatever, the extension last couple weeks ago, or last week, I guess it was, they were trading at like $2. They were up nicely into that. And then the reality hit. And like we have this short Greece on here, and what happens?
It's down to $1.50.
Yep, $1.50. Now, that's been a decent holding place. We'll see. But if, in fact, there is truly a bailout, and if, in fact, you know, which I'm not sure there is because I'm talking about shorting the Greece markets here, right, you know, on the other one, that can move. That can move big if there's some more money put in there. The other one was, that was the first one.
How could it go down?
It's down from $2. What is that? So that's 50 cents on $2, 40%?
Could it go lower?
Go out of business, I suppose. I mean, the problem is that a lot of players are pulling money out. Well, not players. I mean, they're pulling money out of the banks.
Yeah, people are running on the bank. Right. There's bank runs everywhere.
Right. So now, I don't think with unless, of course, there's a lot about the politics now, too. If it wasn't the politics, it'd be a different story. But one of the big things is that I don't think they're going to let them go under. Now, could it be nationalized? Well, Greece doesn't have any money to do that either. So if they did, they'd bail out the bank. But I don't think that the euro, with all what they're doing, with the incredible, dovish attitude and the very liberal money spending that the EU and ECB is doing, I can't imagine them allowing any of these places to go under. Now, meanwhile, a bank in Puerto Rico went under last week. We haven't heard about that in a while. It's like Banco Popular, I think, bought their assets. But, you know, this could go under. It's possible. But, you know, $1.50.
$1.50.
Mm. It's
about bottom feeding.
Yep. And then what was the other one that I was thinking about? Oh, oil. So oil, I think oil could have bottomed here. It's possible. One of the things we've been watching is the inventory build, which has been dramatic. The API numbers came out overnight, and it was only 2.9 million barrels of a crude oil build, and that is a lot less than has been the case. Tomorrow morning will be the, you know, always after the show, the next morning, there's the numbers come out, the official numbers from DOE. So, oil could be interesting too. But what I did pick was a reversal / rebalance. If you look at this, I'm looking at the ProShares Ultra Short NASDAQ Biotech. This is the inverse of the biotech index on the NASDAQ, which has absolutely been glorious. It's been just flying. All the biotech. I mean, look at your biotechs. They're doing great, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking there could be possible, reversion trade here. You know, you see oil stabilize. Some of the money will come out pharmaceuticals, maybe go into the oil sector, take some profits off of this. I mean, it's been moving. So I'm thinking about going short, which is a little bit nutty, but short the NASDAQ biotech. On a leverage basis.
I like it.
Yeah.
Just on a leverage basis. Yeah, the ultra. Uh-huh. Well, if you're going to do that kind of crazy stuff, I got one.
Okay.
Springleaf Holdings.
They were bought out today. You can't do it.
Oh.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the symbol?
Never mind.
That was great.
You're right. They were bought out. I can't do anything. They're stuck.
That's a good idea, though. You're just a little late.
Yeah, just a little.
Wait, hold on a second. Did you do that because of insiders? Were you doing that? Did you see a lot of insider activity?
No. That one, I did not see the insider activity, okay. But there was unusual activity.
Okay.
The only insider activity I thought was kind of interesting is Sprint.
Yeah, S. Symbol S. Aren't they buying the Radio Shack stores?
No, it's hard to say that that's what they're doing. they're doing some deal with Radio Shack's bankrupt company to put Sprint in the front of the stores. The Radio Shacks will still be there, but they'll be kind of Sprint stores and Radio Shack combinations. At least that's the word I got from somebody that works at Radio Shack. And the one we have locally here has now has a bunch of Sprint phones and stuff in the front.
Mm-hmm.
They still sell the other stuff in the back. But it's the CEO. Why would he drop $22 million in Sprint? I mean, he might want to just, he saw it, he bought it at a good price. He got it in the fours or just at the high, I don't know, actually, let me take a look at what he paid for this stuff. But he bought it on that dip that just took place. No, he didn't get it that good of a deal. He paid $4.92 for it.
What's it trading at? Five and a quarter?
He bought, sorry?
It's trading at 5.25.
Yeah. He bought it. We made some money. Bought it at $4.92, and then he bought us some more the next day at $4.94. And I don't know why he'd do this unless there was something up, like a buyout, or I don't think it has anything to do with the Radio Shack thing. And he's not a guy with a lot of insider activity, this guy. If you look at his record, this is it.
Hmm.
He hasn't bought it before. He hasn't done anything, more or less, in the whole area.
Hmm. How long has he been CEO? Do you know?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
Okay.
You have to do some little
Sprint
research.
Sprint new CEO. I'll just look up new. See. Marcello Chlore?
Yeah, Chlore. Raul.
Bold move to cut wireless bills in half. I hope you know. There's a letter from him. Okay, let's see. Born spouse education. He's a founder of what? Brightstar. What was Brightstar?
I don't know. Never heard of it.
Brightstar, isn't that educational? He was born in Bolivia. I mean, that's what made August. Oh, Quincy. Since Brightstar is growing the enterprise of $10 billion gross revenue. Oh, what is? I know what Brightstar is. I got to think what that is. Business career. He was the Brazilian Football Federation marketing manager. He returned to the United States and bought in 55. This guy doesn't look so old, does he? He lives down here in Miami.
Oh, well, that's a bad sign.
He's the CEO of Sprint and Brightstar. Can you do that? How do you that?
Why? Why not?
Seems like it'd be a lot of...
like a lot of work, but... is it Brightstar? Okay.
Let me just look at here. Brightstar was founded in Miami, a distributive service provider and wireless industry with a focus on Latin America. Paraguay, Caribbean, $2,000 company distributor agreement with Motorola. All the different South American companies. And Asia, too. 50 countries.
Well, from what I can tell, Brightstar is no longer in business if it's a traded stock.
Now it's a different degree of business. SoftBank bought them, it looks like.
Okay. Well, then he can't. Yeah, so he's not really the CEO there.
August 4th, he became the Sprint president and CEO on August 11th, 2014.
Okay, so he just got in. Yeah. Now he's buying.
Yeah.
Something's amiss.
Yep.
Even more reason to... It's under $5. Huh?
This guy's done well. When was he born? He looks so young. He was born in 1970. He's younger than me. Oh, wow. Very nice. He went to Bentley. His alma mater was Bentley University in Waltham, Massachusetts.
Bentley?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Later that year, he left Pomposity to the University of Lowell, then transferred to Bentley University. He graduated in 93 with a Bachelor of Science in Economics and Finance. Good-looking fellow.
Well, good for whatever him. The case is, good he's up to something. Nobody drops that kind of money for no good
he
reason.
He was one of the founding members of One Laptop Per Child.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, together with Nicholas Negroponte.
Huh.
He's a founding member of One Laptop Per Child.
Well, that went nowhere.
Wow, this guy's a... I like this guy. He married married Jordan Ingard in 2005. The couple has two daughters and lives in Miami. I got to go visit him. Have a little dinner.
You should. Just take a drive down. Just say hi.
Where are you? Let's get together.
Getting your Aston Martin Vulcan.
All right. Is that it? Any more stocks?
No, just that.
That's it. All right. Well, we will be back next week. Just remember, it is getting close to my birthday. If anybody does want to send me anything, it's very strongly appreciated.
Send them gifts.
Yeah, send gifts. There's no reason why you shouldn't send gifts.
No.
I mean, you know, that's the right thing to do.
Anything but a nut cake.
For the nut case. All right, listen, follow John Dvorak on Twitter at TheRealDvorak and Andrew Horowitz. That's Andrew Horowitz, my name, just like that, simply like that. Go to thepodcastawards.com and vote often. And if you have knowledge of, not that I suggest this, but I heard from a source that a lot of these kind of things are voted on by bots. Isn't that what they call them?
Yeah, bots. People, they rig a bot up, and next thing you know, they're voting constantly.
Yeah, we don't want that, but if you did something like that,
I don't care.
I would look into it. I would just say.
I just don't understand why the bot, you know, whoever wins all the time, they have better programmers than, or better listening bot makers.
Yeah, if anybody out there knows how to do bots just for the educational purposes of it, I'd like to know.
All right. Well, good. Well, we'll have another show on Tuesday.
All right. I'll see
you've
you then.
Been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.